than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, everybody, this is a mid-June show. It is considered like the off-season, the vacation mode for the NFL. Minicamp is over. Mandatory minicamp, I should say, is over. But today, Ravens Nation, the flock, is mourning not one, but two major losses here in the flock. We're here. Let me just introduce my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? How you feeling? You doing all right? This has been a heavy day for us flock members.
It started bad. It got worse. Didn't want to believe the second one as me and you were talking. I was like, no. Heart is heavy for the families, man. The Ferguson family and the Saragusa family. Heart is heavy, brother. Ravens flock is hurting. You know, not for the loss of the young bird, but you know, Jalen Ferguson, but the old retired guard, Super Bowl 35 champion Tony Siragusa. For all of those who probably already know by now, the passing of two Ravens, one current, one former, started the day with Jalen Ferguson news passing away, age 26. Then the afternoon brought even more somber news. Tony Siragusa, 55 years old, passed away. Gone. My first gut reaction to this raw reaction is life's short, dude. We don't know when our time's up, whether it's by design, whether it's self-inflicted. And before I even go further, no, I don't think that, you know, I'm not saying there's foul play involved or, you know, nobody did it to themselves. We don't know the cause of death of these two men. It's still to be determined. I've heard speculation. People are asking me, I don't know. For all those who want to know, it was reportedly or allegedly that there was some sort of drug overdose or use involved in Jalen Ferguson's instance. Still, it's tragic. Nothing to take lightly. Apparently, with Siragusa, he passed away in his sleep. No one knows anything concrete right now. It's all, again, it's all speculation, all relative to the investigations. Let them play out. That news will come in due time. But, dude, what a sad day for the families. You know, the fans, the organization, not to put out one statement, but two in the same day, unheard of, man. Like, you know, I've heard of former current players or some people, folks in the organization. I've heard of multiple people passing in from an organization in the same week, let alone the same month, but not the same day. To me, this is like, what gives, man? Like we were all saying, what's going on with today of all days? June 22nd on a Wednesday. It's wow, life is fleeting, life's short. Live it up, because we don't know when our time is up and the bell rings. So prayers, thoughts of the families, man. Condolences on our behalf of the call. Wow, I couldn't imagine the pain and the weight and everything of what they're going through, brother. It's something that we never like to talk about. Like I told you before, like, you know, I don't know if I texted you or other people. I've been texting people all day about it, group chats lighting up. Death is obviously part of life, right? But not when it's unexpected and it's early. Like, again, you know, you have a celebrated life and you get a chance to celebrate that life and live a full life. We get it, right? You can still mourn in death, but then celebrate that they had a long life and acknowledge that here, 26 to 55, come on, man. Like, in an unexpected form, just never want to see that, man. You know, Ferguson leaves, you know, behind, you know, obviously his family and Siragusa with his family. I just feel for him, bro. I just can't fathom it. And, you know, it sucks for anybody, whether we're close to him or whether we don't know him and we just know him as a celebrity. It sucks that anybody's got to go through this in life, but just prayers and thoughts to the families, man. it just sucks. Just sucks.
Yeah. I mean, I went into the office for work today and I, you know, turn my car off. I get out and I look at my phone and I see you sent me an image. I open that up and I look at it and I see Jalen Ferguson's face. And immediately my first thought was like, oh, like, you sending me like a highlight reel, or are you sending me, you know, something about the mini camp that happened last week? And then I'm reading the statement and then I see the years underneath his picture and like my jaw dropped. I'm like, you know, he just got drafted. He was a part of this team. This was, he was such an intricate part. I mean, his nickname was Sack Daddy. I remember how excited you and I were that the Ravens drafted a guy named Sack Daddy. And it was just absolutely shocking. You don't expect something like that at 26. I mean, his life really is just starting at 26, and he's living a dream that a lot of people dream about, and he's able to live that out. And it's tragic. And like you said, we don't have anything concrete. The police said that they're looking at it, and there's some of the evidence at the scene. He wasn't in his body, or he wasn't found in the greatest of neighborhoods in Baltimore, but they said that a friend of his says that he was, you know, zanked out of his mind or something like that. They said that before. That's all speculation, but all signs point to it being a drug overdose, and that's really unfortunate. He had the rest of his life ahead of him. He had kids, and I don't know if it was a wife or a girlfriend, but he had a relationship. But from what I read in The Sun, he was dealing with a loss of a grandparent. He was going through some of that grief process, and he just lost a home in Owings Mills. So there was a lot going on in his life that a lot of us fans didn't know about. And it's really unfortunate that a life was cut so short. And, you know, drug addiction, substance abuse issues, everybody knows someone that has dealt with something like that. I mean, this is something that everyone is somewhat close to, if not in their own lives. They know someone connected to substance abuse issues in some way. It's so unfortunate. It is a disease, and it's just heartbreaking that he wasn't able to get help before it was too late. And if somebody out there is having those kind of issues, just know there are places you can go. There is no shame. There is no, there will be a lot of grief if anything were to happen to anyone out there dealing with those issues. So there is no shame, but just go and get help before it is too late, because it doesn't matter your age or your ethnicity or anything like that. Substance abuse issues, they affect us all in the same way. If it's taken too far, our bodies just kind of shut down. So it is incredibly, incredibly sad. We do feel for his family and his kids, and we feel for the Ravens organization as well. I mean, you got to think, yes, he was a Raven star, but he was a teammate. He was a friend. He was a coworker. He was, you know, he was a pupil of a coach. You know, I can't imagine what's going through the castle right now, going through that kind of grief. And then at the end of the day, to get the news about Tony Siragusa, who was so intricate in the building of the Ravens in, you know, when they first got here, we were just talking to a friend of ours a week or two ago saying how this organization is so young and how much they were able to accomplish. Tony Siragusa was one of those foundation members at the beginning of the Ravens organization in the late 90s. And he was a huge part with that Super Bowl run, the first Super Bowl run. I don't know this. Let me ask you this. Do you know, ESPN is doing a documentary about that team, that Super Bowl winning team. And they had an event at the Lyric Opera House in downtown Baltimore a couple weeks ago where they were filming a bunch of the old teammates getting together. Was Tony Siragusa a part of that?
You know, even or not, I got to go back and look. I had a feeling you were going to ask about that. I should have been prepared. Let me see. I know some people who were there, but let me see.
I'm just thinking, you know, it is again, tragic. A 55-year-old passing away at such a young age, again, unexpectedly. But if there's one thing that we can think about is that we get to see him, if he was a part of that, we get to see him maybe one more time and get to hear some of his stories one more time on ESPN. That would be a treat for all the Ravens fans out there. That if he was a part of it, we get to kind of hear his side of the story of what that run was like. If he wasn't a part of it, that's really unfortunate. But we know that he was such a big part of the organization. He was a part of Fox Sports as well after his playing days were over. So two really special Ravens players gone way too soon on the same day. And it's just, it is tragic.
Tony Siragusa was scheduled to be there. I'm reading an article from WJZ, CBS Baltimore, May 2nd, 2022. Says, organization said Monday when honor the team later this month, championship celebration. Obviously, this is in May. Linebacker Ray Lewis, tight end Shannon Sharp, free agent safety, free safety Rod Woodson, sorry. Defensive tackle Tony Siragusa, quarterback Trent Dilfer, and running back Jamal Lewis are all scheduled to attend the reunion along with Brian Billick, Marvin Lewis, and Jack Del Rio. So, I have to go back and see the I know some folks are there again. I have to go back and look on their Facebook to see if they posted pictures, but apparently he was scheduled to appear. So tragic, man. You know, right away in our group chat, one of the memories, him falling on Rich Gannon in an AFC title game in 2000, is goofy, brash personality. You know, his quote, right, you know, about the, I think it was the quote about the AFC title game, or no, I think it was, I think he was talking about the Titans game, the divisional game that player. But anyway, it was a great interview. Remember, he was just like, it's going to be a war. I shared that today. Again, man, you know, and to lose Ferguson, man, all the talent in the world, to see what he can bring to the Ravens defense. These two men are going to be missed, you know, by the friends, family, and fans ultimately. So, yeah, and then more to come when obviously the situation surrounding their untimely passing. So not to move on to the from the somber news, but we do have news to report. Lamar Jackson was obviously the talk of the town contract situation, but not only that, but Lamar put on some pounds. He's over 200. Looks like he Mr. Beefcakes over here now, beefed up.
I don't know if you want to say. Yeah. I don't know if you want to say pounds. He put on muscle mass. He even.
He corrected correction.
Yeah, he corrected muscle a reporter mass. Who was like, "How much weight have you gained?" And he goes, "You mean muscle mass?" And then I think it would have been great if Lamar would have, like, you know, flexed or something like that afterwards. But yeah, 12 to 15 pounds of muscle. You look at this guy. That dude is. I mean, that's a big dude.
You got some muscle, brain. You doing your DDP yoga?
Got some DDP yoga.
Oh, there
right
you go.
There. Oh, I got it on
big
the wrong
guns.
Side.
Gun show.
Yeah,
and then we're having a gun show today on 299. Nice.
You know, we saw John Harbaugh and Ben Cleveland and Marlon Humphrey at AEW in May. I mean, if Lamar was here for OTAs, I think Lamar maybe got into the ring, got into Chris Jericho's face or something like that, because the dude has put on his muscles. He's so much bigger than he was the last couple of years. You can tell. Yes, he didn't miss OTAs, but he has not been skipping out on the workout at all.
No, he has not. He has not been skipping out on any workouts. And there was his absence prior, right? Everybody's like, where's Lamar? Where's Lamar? Like you said, he can't wait to be there. He'll show up. And he did. From what I saw on the footage, bro, you know, we get it, right? It is what it is. It's not in contact. There's no defense swarming around. But I feel like the footage that we've seen, balls were crisp. You know, he was throwing the balls where they should be. But, you know, and we'll see what happens. But, you know, and I know it is what it is. Take it with a grain of salt, you know, just because we've seen him throwing some spirals out there and pinpoint accuracy and connecting with Mark Andrews and connecting with Bateman, it doesn't mean that we're back in midseason form, right? Still got some work to do. He said he feels great, but I like to get back to the basics and the training camp and the preseason, see where it all comes together, even if he plays in the preseason. You know, but for the most part, I was okay with what I saw. It wasn't like, oh my God, this is going to be Lamar's redemption. You're like, timeout. You know, he needs to get back to the 2019 form, back to balling out, back to leadership, get healthy. But this is the first step back. And what I saw, hey, it was okay. I can applaud it. Great job, buddy. Great job overall, but let's keep it going.
And unfortunately, at minicamp, I mean, I should say, fortunately, no injuries. No one got banged up or anything during minicamp. But unfortunately, we did not see J.K. Dobbins. We did not see Gus Edwards. We did not see Ronnie Stanley. So still three really big question marks of what those guys are doing. John Harbaugh did say that they're progressing, but we don't see them out on the field yet. J.K. Dobbins apparently is itching to get on the field. He asked if he could. They said no. So hopefully by, you know, maybe mid-training camp, we'll have a better idea if those three guys will be on the field to start the season. But all signs point to them going at least in the right direction. The big question is, once they hit the field, when are they going to be in game shape, and will they be ready for the beginning of the season?
I mean, it's all valid questions, and I think we're all just chomping at the bit. We're excited, right? You know, this is the last month without football, right? They start training camp at the end of next month, which is awesome, right? Preseason August, it's coming quick. Before you know it, I got to get on the draft boards and draft some fantasy teams. And we're going to be talking about training camps and seeing these guys on the field and knocking on the wood here. Let's all remain healthy. Let's not tweak things. Let's not tear things. You know, we want to get back to healthy Ravens football, the full team, all hands on deck. But again, you know, there's really, it's kind of like there's news to report, but there's no news to report in the same breath because, you know, again, it is what it is. It's organized team activities. It's mini camp. Some of it's voluntary. Some of it's mandatory. It is. You're getting the team together. In with the whole contract speculation of Lamar, that'll all weigh itself out. It's the talk of the town. I've seen it reported on ESPN and NFL Network. They're talking about it. I see some of Lamar highlights and it catches me, and they're talking contracts and when stuff's going to happen and Kyler Murray as well. See what happens in the offseason. I don't think the deal is going to be imminent here. I think it's going to happen when it's going to happen. So we don't know. You know, Bishotti's been vocal and saying, hey, we're just waiting on him. You know, we have our end. So no, I think overall, I think we're going to be really happy with what we see. Can't wait to see what Bateman can do emerging as a true number one receiver. And I know Baltimore media has been vocal lately, putting it out there. Nothing bad, right? But what is the concern with the wide receiving core? No experience. You know, nobody has 1,000 receiving yards in a season. No one has over 100 catches or near that. No one's got a full season of healthy stat to go off of. Bateman's the true number one where he said he wants to truly land and be. So I'm hoping he breaks out of his shell even more. So I'm really excited to see what everything can do. Heard the Mark Andrews connection was just as good as ever it's ever been. So that's something to really, really fall in love with all over again and behold. And you know, that's going to be the bread and butter, I feel like, for the passing game right there. And it really Bateman coming into his own and emerging as we've seen last year too.
Yeah, the wide receiver core is the only thing that I think a lot of people are still kind of worried about. There is a chance that the Ravens do go after a veteran wide receiver, maybe during training camp, that gets cut unexpectedly and bring them into the core. I think right price and right guy to come in could potentially help them. But I also think that this young receiving core has something to prove. And I think that's kind of always been the Ravens mentality. It's always been the world against us. And I think that underdog mentality is going to shine because a lot of people are saying that these young wide receivers are unproven, which they are unproven, and they don't have experience, which they don't, and they can't get the job done. I think those guys are hearing that. They're getting that chip on their shoulder that is so well known here in Baltimore and with the Ravens that they're going, oh, we're unproven? All right, bring it on. We'll show you. We can do whatever you think we can't do. And I think that they're going to show off this year. Hopefully I'm right. I don't know. I think I will be. But like you said, they have looked good, and they look like they are a tight-knit group, which you want to see because it is OTA's mini camp. You know, these guys are spending a lot of time together off the field. I think that coming into this, these guys know the world is against them, and they got something to show.
They do, man. And that's the thing. I want to see these guys prove themselves. I don't think that we don't want to write them off just yet. And that's what I think a lot of the misconception is. You know, it's, these guys aren't proven. They can't get it done. You hit it right there. Unproven. That's the problem. You know, they're unproven, and everybody's going to put the pressure on the passing game because why? We want to see them do more passing. We want to see Lamar develop. But when you have the inexperience that you do in wide receiver, it's a valid point. It is a valid concern for all. And I just want to see it pan out for everybody. And you can't really put the high expectation that this team's going to ball out. Lamar's going to throw 40 to 50 touchdowns and, things are going to happen, because he's got Bateman and Andrews, who are the only real two proven ones. Obviously Mark Andrews proven, leaps and bounds, but Bateman half the season last year showed what he can do, even with Lamar being out. And then with the guys that are behind him on the depth chart. So that's going to be a focal point, because we already know running game solid. We bolster that, especially with the draft of Batty. So Edwards and Dobbins bring it back. We know Lamar can run the rock too as well. Don't want him to, but he can. And you know where the line is. You know what the line's going to be. Obviously, remaining healthy, and the defense solid right now. So all the focal point focus is going to be on that wide receiver core come training camp. All we're going to just be watching that like a hawk, man.
Absolutely.
I know I will.
And it was nice to see the mini camp footage come out, and it was nice to see them, all the guys you're expecting to see there. So mini camp was just like a little teaser of what's to come.
It was an appetizer. We're almost getting there, bro. We're almost getting there. Not to wish away the summer, having a good time golfing and whatnot. I know you've been at the beach a lot, so don't want to wish it away, but football is upon us, and it'll be here for you know it. Wanted to ask you, man, want to have some fun here. We were talking pre-show, blue cheese, ranch, the whole nine yards. We agree to disagree. I say blue cheese. I'm team blue cheese. You're team ranch.
Yes.
On the wings, right?
I'm right.
You think you're right. Okay. Well, we're both right. I like blue cheese and despise the ranch on my wings, and vice versa for you. Why the ranch?
Number one, it tastes better. blue cheese is like, why is this so chunky? Like, I'm dipping wings in there and I'm like, what is this? Like, is there a finger floating in this? What is going on? That's just wrong. So give me a ranch all day long on my wings.
You like that creamy stuff?
Yeah.
Smooth.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And don't get me even started like on goat cheese. Goat cheese is also like the most disgusting thing I've ever tasted. Goat cheese tastes the way a petting zoo smells.
He is coming with the fire and brimstone with his cheese. All right. I was just curious. All right. Now I'm going to take it a step further. Flats or drums?
I'll eat any wing. Doesn't matter to me.
Oh, wow. You're in any wing. I got to take the flats.
You're all flats?
All flats.
You're getting charged an extra $2 at Hooters?
Yep. Absolutely. Got to go to flats. Flats and blue cheese all day.
Now, we're talking wings. Do you go traditional buffalo, or do you like go barbecue or Old Bay, or what do you do when you're getting wings?
I got to go traditional mild.
That's not traditional mild. Come on.
Because I can easily say Old Bay or barbecue, but barbecue is pretty good. I like the honey mustard barbecue stuff, but I can't stand the really hot wings. And for the record, every time someone says this, boneless wings are chicken nuggets. Don't tell me otherwise. go to Chick-fil-A and order a box of 8-count nuggets and then dip them in the Chick-fil-A sauce. It's the same thing as eating a boneless wing. It's what it is. Boneless wing is just it's a chicken nugget. Come on, people. Like when restaurants sell boneless wings, I literally like want to just take a pen and go chicken nuggets. Like, let's call it what it is.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah. They're adult chicken nuggets. Yes. They're adult chicken.
There is
nuggets.
No boneless wings. Like, wings are meant to have the bone in. And if you eat bone, hey, I used to be one of them. And I converted. I'll be honest with you, Brandon. I used to be boneless because I like to just get it with the fork, dip it all in sauce, and then put it in my mouth and eat it, right? And devour. Now I'm like, just got to love the experience. Eat wings, love the bones, flat sky, blue cheese all day. And so me and you differ. I like that. I like that, man. You always can't be the same.
It depends on where I go. If there's like specific restaurants there, I will go barbecue. I will go Old Bay, but it's gotta be a specific place to go that I know it's good. If it's a place I've never been, then I'll go with the hot buffalo. Don't do mild, hot, hotter the better. When I used to go to Hooters for UFC fights, they had 3 Mile Island was a sauce. I used to get the 3 Mile Island. It was like the hottest you could get.
So and there sounds was like Atomic or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll go with that. And then there was a place when I was in college in Towson called Cluck U Chicken, and they had wings so hot you had to sign a waiver because it had liquid mace in it. So back in the day, I was on a radio show. We actually tried one, and I took
liquid
a bite of it.
Mace.
Yeah, and that stuck with you. I took one bite of that, and then that was it. It was too hot. I had to leave the room. I had to drink milk to cool my mouth down. That was too much. But normally, I'll go with like a hot buffalo with ranch, and I'll eat flats, drums. Doesn't matter. I'm happy with any type of wing.
Okay. All right. Remember that. I just thought it was a good debate. Good way to end on a high note. And then we started off with some horrible, terrible news covered what the Ravens are doing. And we ended with some wing talk. So
is that it for the show?
I think so. You got anything else, buddy? Got anything on the docket?
I think that's it. I think that's it. Zoom's
short, sweet, to the point. You do have quite a pop collection, as I see always.
Oh, this is nothing. This is nothing. That's just my office. Nothing. That's just the office pops. You know, I got
the office pops.
Yeah. This is my. We're in my home office, so I had to get the office and Dwight's and Michael Scott's and stuff. So, if that's it for the show this week, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Josh is saying timeout.
Timeout. Didn't do the correct sign off, man. Getting hasty. You just can't wait to eat that ranch and wings, man. I got you excited. You probably didn't even eat dinner yet. I know you didn't because you told me.
I have not. Yeah. All right. So have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
Quote the Raven, never mer. Now take it away.
We've been doing this for 299 episodes. You think I'd be better at this?
299. And you're not sick of me yet? I can't always remember. What's what the puck up to? Have you gotten past 300 there?
Yeah. I think we're at like 326 or something. It's a longer season. So, I mean, we can stack those episodes up pretty
quickly.
That's right.
You have like 80-something games in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not really talking about playoffs if you're talking about the Caps at the moment. So, ooh, I mean, no. Yeah.
Who do you got in the finals this year?
I said from the beginning it was going to be the Avalanche winning it all. So I'm still in the running for.
Well, they're up 2-1 going into game four tonight. So have fun with that.
Yeah.
If they can take that commanding 3-1 lead. So, without further ado, take it away.
If you want to chat to with Josh or I, you can tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always Italian GQ52.
Now go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. And we're always sharing all kinds of information over on the Facebook page. Now we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, rate us over on Spotify, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan, I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Episode 299. Guys, next episode, episode 300 of The Call. Josh and I have been saying it for a while. Most podcasts, they like, you know, sputter out at episode 12. We have gone on for 10 years at 300 episodes coming up. So make sure you are still subscribed. We have something very special. We have cooked up something really special for you guys. So make sure.
Was it blue cheese and flats?
It was not blue cheese and flats. It was better than that. That's it for 299. Stay subscribed. We have episode 300 coming up, and it will be dropping. If you're subscribed, you'll know. So make sure you stay subscribed. But that's it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you, my friend. And, 299, hard to believe. I know Star Wars was 9 episodes. The Simpsons is what, 1,000 episodes? It seems like, I don't know. They're still
36
going. 36
seasons?
Yes, 36 seasons. We have Monday Night Raw, longest running episodic television show of all time, plethora of episodes, and we fall right in the middle there, 300 coming up. Who'd have thunk it? So we We've outlasted Star Wars. That was pretty cool. 9 episodes for them, 300 for us. I'll take that ratio. Thank you for sticking with us for all 299 and beyond. 300 is going to be special, but every episode is special because me and Brandon get to talk, speak our minds, and talk what we love to do is bottom raised football and sometimes food and drinks and beach and whatnot we have on our minds. And I like to know, you know, are you all ranch, blue cheese folks? Flats, drums, you're like, Brandon, hey, it's a wing. I'll eat anything with meat and bone, right?
Yeah.
Hey, hey, don't mean I don't eat the drums, the drumsticks, but if you get flats, I'm going to take all the flats out of that kitty. So, So as we sign off on the call, OTAs and minicamp are over. The summer months are right in the middle of the summer. I think recording spring's apparently just ended, quote unquote. Summer's here. Enjoy the summer. Down to the ballpark, Joyce Mose. And can't wait to get back started with some Ravens news until anything that breaks anything and everything Ravens. Until then, enjoy the summer, everybody. We'll be talking. With that being said, Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.